What's happening, everybody, and welcome to today's edition of Swag Talk, a show where we cover the swag inside and out. I'm your host, Charles Wells, aka C Wells, coming at you on this Sunday, and we're gonna continue our 2021 spring season team recaps. We're gonna recap the Alabama State Hornets football season for the spring 2021 edition. We're also gonna have a YouTube video out today covering the same topic. It's going to be a little bit shorter and not as in-depth as this, but we're going to do this every week on Sundays until we get to get closer and do our 12-team conference previews for the fall 2021 season. So a lot to come up. The offseason is moving rapidly. We're under 100 days until the start of the football season. So everything's coming all in the place and it's coming into shape, and the season will be here shortly. So before we get started, I'd like to throw out the socials: facebook.com/swagtalk, twitter.com/swagtalk76, instagram.com/swagtalk, and swagtalk76@gmail.com is the email address. Also, as I said before, the show is on YouTube. You can search Swag Talk Show on YouTube. Go ahead and like the videos when you see them. We had 139 subscribers. So go ahead and subscribe to the channel if you haven't done so already. Hit the notification bell when you watch those videos so you can be alerted to any content that I upload on YouTube. So we're going to go ahead and get started. We're not going to waste a lot of your time with this. Alabama State finished the season at 3-3 overall and 3-2 in conference. And they were 2-2 at home, 1-0 on the road, and 0 lost to Southern. Then they picked up a 2-0 forfeit against Alcorn on March 6th. They defeated Jackson State on March 20th, 35-28. They had a game scheduled with Arkansas Pine Bluff. They played about a quarter and a half before their game was ruled a no contest due to weather. April 3rd, they hosted South Carolina State. They lost that game 14-7. They beat Valley on April 10th, 42-17. And they lost to Alabama State in the Magic City Classic 38-14. So as you can see, this is a team who basically did Alabama State things. They lost, they won, they lost, they won, they lost, they won. They never had any sort of a winning streak. Well, I guess you could say they had a winning streak due to Alcorn's forfeit and the victory over Jackson State, but on field, they never had a winning streak, and they honestly never had a losing streak either. So they just, that kind of program, they win, they lose, they win, they lose, they win, they lose. And, you know, they're always going to be in the midst of it, but they never really are able to get over the hump of it. And that's mainly primarily due to the fact that they were very strong defensively this season. Weren't spectacular, but they had some new faces to kind of take the reins and grow from there. Ryan Nettles, the quarterback, came basically out of nowhere. He was a guy who actually missed his senior year of football due to injury, and then with the 2020 season being canceled, he had like 2.5-3 years outside of football, without playing in a live action game. So he represented himself well during the season. He had some growing pains, as any quarterback would do. Offensive line, they started two freshman tackles at the start of the season, so they had some growing pains there. And the defense had to carry them for the bulk of the season, but Ryan Nettles definitely showed himself to be a guy who can be a great quarterback in this league, and honestly probably be one of the better quarterbacks to come through Alabama State once his career is finished. So we'll see how they stacked up statistically in the SWAC. They were fifth in the league in scoring offense. They averaged 23.4 points per game. They had 117 total points, 17 total touchdowns. They did not make a field goal on the season, so that's something to kind of look at. They were third in the league in scoring defense. They allowed 22.6 points per game, 15 total touchdowns, and they allowed 4 field goals on the season. Total offense, Alabama State was sixth in the league at 355.8 yards per game. They averaged 4.9 yards per play. Defensively, they were third in total defense, allowing 330 yards per game and 4.7 yards per play. So, not a lot of yardage to be had on either side of the ball for them. They were roughly the same amount on each, and the yards per play was similar as well. Rushing offense, they were third at 153.6 yards per game. 8 rushing touchdowns. They averaged 4.2 yards per rush, which was also third in the league. 768 yards, and they had 184 carries. So they ran the ball the third highest amount on the season. Highest yardage total and the third highest yard per rush average. So they were a very good running game. They had Ezra Gray was a great running back for them. And Ja'Cory Merritt was another guy that carried the ball fairly well for them. Defensively, they were sixth in the league in rushing defense at 145.2 yards per game, allowing 7 touchdowns on the ground, 3.9 yards per rush, 726 yards on 188 carries. Passing offense, they were 7th in the league, 100 of 178, good for 56.2%. They threw 9 touchdowns on the season and 6 interceptions. They averaged 202.2 yards per game, 1,011 yards total passing. Defensively, they led the league in passing defense. They allowed 49% completions, 79 of 160, 7 touchdowns passing for the opponents, and they had Hornets had 5 interceptions, 924 yards allowed passing, 184.8 yards per game for Alabama State. Passing efficiency offense, they were 7th with a rating of 113.8. Defensively, they led the league in passing efficiency defense with 106.1 efficiency rating. Kickoff returns, Alabama State was 7th. They averaged 17 yards per game per return, 272 yards total on 16 returns. Punt returns, they were also 7th. They had 8 returns of 59 yards for 7.4 yards per return. On kickoffs, Alabama State averaged 39.6 net yards per kickoff. They averaged 56.4 yards per kickoff. So they 1,298 yards on kickoffs, on 23 kickoffs. Average return, they allowed 312 yards on return. So they gave up a fairly decent amount of return yardage, and that's what brought their net yardage down, because they actually had the third highest kickoff average as far as distance, but once you factor in returns, the number kind of dropped down a little bit. Field goals, like I said, Alabama State did not make a field goal this year. 5, they were the only team who did not make a field goal. Extra points, they were 2nd in the league at 17 of 17 for 100%. Punting, Alabama State averaged 39.5 yards per punt. 30 punts for 1,184 yards. They allowed 119 punt return yards, an average of 4 yards per punt return. They had 3 touchbacks and 9 punts fair caught. They had a net punt average of 33.5 yards per punt once you factor in return. Alabama State allowed 11 sacks on the season, which was good for 6th in the league. They had 11 sacks as a defense, which was good for 4th in the league. So they allowed 11 sacks, and they had 11 sacks. Interceptions, the Hornets were 2nd in the league with 5 interceptions on the year. No touchdowns. They averaged 4.2 yards per return on interceptions, 21 total yards. First downs, Alabama State was 4th. They had 40 rushing first downs, 51 passing first downs, 11 by penalty, good for 102 first downs, giving them an average of 20.4 first downs per game. Defensively, they were second in first downs allowed by the opponents, 38 rushing, 42 passing, 12 by penalty. That's 92 first downs, 18.4 per game. Third down conversions, Alabama State was seventh, 24 of 71 for 33.8%. Defensively, they led the league in third down conversion percentage, 23 of 73 for 31.5%. So they did a good job of getting stops on third down as a defense, but they didn't do a good job of getting conversions on third down on offense. So they were able to get off the field on defense, but they couldn't stay on the field on offense. And that, when you have that kind of conversion rating, you tend to run into games that are going to be close, and you know, the lack of conversions can't hurt you. They were 5 of 9 on fourth downs, good for second in the league for 55.6%. They allowed 1 of 6 on fourth downs as a defense. That's 16.7%, so that was second place. Penalties, Alabama State was 6th in the league. 39 penalties for 355 yards. That's 71 yards per game on penalties. And that's about 7.5 penalties per game. Opponents' penalties for Alabama State, they were third, 39 penalties as well for 377 yards, 75.4 yards per game. So the penalty numbers were similar for them and their opponents. Time of possession, Alabama State was fifth in the league with an average time of possession of 30 minutes and 21 seconds. So you can kind of see, how this team, you can see why this team ended up the way they did. The numbers are fairly similar on both sides of the ball. They didn't really do anything super duper great. They ran the ball, well in games. Then other games, they didn't run the ball well. They threw the ball well in spurts. Then other games, they didn't. Defensively, they were kind of not really porous against the run, but they gave up some big plays on the ground. And then other games, they gave up big plays through the air. So they didn't really have a super explosive offense, which can kind of hurt you in this league. Ezra Gray was the leader in rushing. He had 84 carries for 436 yards. He averaged 5.2 yards per rush, 3 touchdowns. His long was 50. He averaged 87.2 yards per game. And his breakout game, honestly, was against Jackson State. He ran for, I think, like 190 yards in that game. And he was a guy who came into the season really with a lot to prove and a reputation that was being built. And he had a pretty good season, and he didn't really just knock it lights out week in and week out. He did have a couple games where he didn't really get his best effort put in, but teams kind of schemed for him and slowed him down a little bit because he's not a big guy. He's a guy who is who is shifty. If you let him get outside, he can't hurt you. He actually had the highest rushing total per game in a game on the season with 195 yards against Jackson State. And that game, he had 2 huge runs to kind of seal that game. But he also had a couple games where he wasn't as good. But that's kind of one of the things that hurt them was when their running attack wasn't really potent. Ja'Cory Merritt, 43 carries, 164 yards, 3.8 yards per carry, 2 touchdowns. His long was 14, 32.8 yards per game. Ryan Nettles, 36 carries, 110 yards, 3.1 yards per carry, 1 touchdown. Long of 53, 22 yards per game average. Jared Daniels, 6 carries for 31 yards, 5.2 yards per carry. No touchdowns. Long of 9, 7.7 yards per game. Robert Rivers, 4 carries for 13 yards, 3.3 yards per carry. 1 touchdown. His long was 5, and he averaged 2.6 yards per game. Passing, Ryan Nettles, 85 of 144, 8 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, 59% completion, 917 yards, 183 yards per game. Chris Scott, 14 of 32, 1 touchdown, 1 interception, 98 yards, 43.7% completion. His long was 14, 32.6 yards per game. And one thing you notice, that Alabama A&M game in the Magic City Classic, Nettles was having a fairly solid first half. You know, they ran the ball pretty well early, tried to take the air out of the game a little bit. He got injured. Scott came in, and the offense just didn't click. And Alabama A&M was able to pull away in the second half. So it's important for Ryan Nettles to stay on the field because he brings a dual threat nature to the offense. He's still growing and learning, so that's, you know, that's honestly something positive to take from this, that you could win three games with a quarterback who hadn't played football in a long time. And, you know, like I said, he made some mistakes, but then other times he looked really sharp. And he's only going to get better. So that's something that, you know, to keep an eye on. Jahad Booker was the leading receiver on the team this year, 18 catches. 252 yards. He averaged 14 yards per catch, 2 touchdowns. He had a long of 43, 50.4 yards per game. Jeremiah Hickson, 13 catches, 234 yards, 18 yards per game, 3 touchdowns, 35 yards of his long, 46.8 yards per game. Michael Jefferson, 24 catches, 234 yards, 9.7 yards per catch, 2 touchdowns. His long was 31. He averaged 46.8 yards per game. Wallace Corker, 6 catches, 101 yards, 16.8 yards per catch, 2 touchdowns, longer 59, 20.2 yards per game. Terrence Ellis, 12 catches for 77 yards, 6.4 yards per catch, 19 yards was his long, 15.4 yards per game. Grantis Poole, 6 catches, 36 yards, 6 yards per catch, 15 yards was his long, 7.2 yards per game. Abdul Diop, 5 catches for 32 yards, 6.4 yards per catch. 11 yards was his long, 10.6 yards per catch. Ja'Cory Merritt, 4 catches for 21 yards, 5.2 yards per catch. 14 yards was his long, 4.2 yards per game. Ezra Gray, 10 catches for 19 yards, 1.9 yards per catch. Long was 10 yards, 3.8 yards per game. Michael Jefferson obviously came into the season as the top guy. You know, last year, 2019, he had a great season. He didn't have a spectacular season this year. He had some huge drops in a couple games. And he didn't really just dominate like, you know, he was expected to this year. And now he's entered entered and exited the transfer portal. He transferred to University of Louisiana Lafayette as a grad transfer. So he's going to move on to the FBS level and finish his season off finish his career off in the Sun Belt. He didn't have a great season. Part of that is due to having a young quarterback, but he also, like I said, he had some costly drops at certain points in the season. So not a great year for him, but still a productive season. Urshaw Davis led the team in tackles with 41. Cameron Rompersad, second with 21. James Burgess, 20 tackles, Colton Adams, 18, Christian Clark, Natron Culpepper, and Andrew Ogletree each had 15 tackles. Austin Brundridge and Rodney Eccles had 14 tackles apiece. Abraham Adesipi, 13 tackles. Jaquan Foote, Devontae Webster each had 12 tackles. Jeffrey Scott, Romello Tarver, and Nicholas Terry each had 10 tackles. Brandon Gaddy, Jake Howard each had 8. Sean Harper, Daniel Darius Whitehurst, each had 7. Eric Feltz, Keenan Isaac, and Darius King, along with Kirsten Threet and Daniel Troutman, each had 5 tackles. Jahad Booker and Aaron Pope had 4. Tackles for loss, Ogletree, 5. Webster, 3.5. Terry and Howard each had 3 tackles for loss. Rompersad and Clark each had 2.5 tackles for loss. Culpepper, 2 tackles for loss. Davis, 2 tackles for loss. King, 2 tackles for loss. Adams, Brunridge, Adesipi, and Tarver each had 1.5 tackles for loss. Burgess, Harper, Pope, one tackle for loss apiece. Half a tackle of loss apiece goes to Foot, Scott, and Gaddy. The Hornets had 39 tackles for loss on the season. They allowed 36. Sacks, leading sack man on the team was Ogletree with 2.5, Rompersad with 2, Webster, Howard, King, Adesipi, Brown, each had 1 sack apiece. Half a sack goes to Davis. Interceptions, Davis, Harper, Scott, Phelps, and Troutman each had 1 interception apiece. So they had 5 interceptions, won by 5 different guys. Aubrey Grace was the leading punter. He had 28 punts for 1,150 yards, 41.07 yard average per punt. His long was 57 on the season. He had 3 touchbacks, 3 punts, fair caught, 7 punts inside the 20, and 9 50-plus yard punts. He did have 1 punt block on the season. Like I said before, field goals, they were 0 for 5 on the season. Hunter Hansen was 0 for 2, and Cosmin Diakunu was 0 for 3. They were 0 for 1 from 20 to 29 yards, 0 for 2 from 30 to 39 yards. From 40 yards out, they were 0 for 2. So they, you know, like I said, they just did not do very well on field goals. Their leading return man was Brian West on punt returns. He had 5 returns for 57 yards. He averaged 11.4 yards per return. His long was 48. Ezra Gray was the leading kickoff return man. He had 10 returns for 185 yards, 18.5 yards per return. Long was 31. Grantis Poole had 5 returns for 71 yards, 14.2 yards per return. His long was 26. So when you look at this season, like I said, I've said it multiple times, but they just were a team who kind of found their way in and out during the season. They just never had any consistency. And, you know, this season was not a bad season. I mean, obviously, you know, they finished 500. They finished under 500 if you take away the Alcorn game. They only won two games on the field. But that Jackson State game was a huge victory for them. It kind of set the table for the rest of the season. That South Carolina State game was a tremendous dud. I think that game kind of exposed them a little bit. They played a great second half against Valley and a pretty decent first half against Alabama A&M. They just never had a game where they put it all together. They had a good first half against Jackson, and they played okay in the middle, and they closed it out really strong. Southern, they fought most of that game. They had a really good third quarter where they ended up taking the lead, and they let it go. And, you know, field goals were their downfall in that game. So you can pretty much trace everything that happened to them to certain things, you know, small things on the season. And there's going to be, you know, something that they have to get over, especially going into this season. You know, the East is loaded. And, you know, they cannot afford to, you know, drop games in silly ways. And they are going to have to, you know, become more consistent on offense. If you've listened to me for a while, then you know I've said this about Alabama State for the last 2 or 3 years. They have to have some consistency on defense on offense, because they just don't have anything that really scares you. Ezra Gray has come on strong the last couple of years, but he's still a guy that can't be bottled up. And if he's bottled up, then the passing attack has to really flourish. So with this spring season, I think, is going to go a long way in helping Ryan Nellis become an even better quarterback. And if he can develop and continue to grow as a quarterback, then Alabama State will have something, you know, something really consistent to lean on. So it's going to be interesting to see how their season goes. We're just going to take a really quick look at what their fall schedule will look like. I'm not going to go in depth on anything, but just want to put it out there. They open up their season on September 4th against Miles College. September 11th, they're at Auburn. September 25th, they're at Bethune-Cookman. Excuse me, they get Bethune-Cookman at home. October 2nd, they go to FAMU. October 9th, they have Pine Bluff at home for homecoming. October 16th, they're at Jackson State. October 30th is the Magic City Classic. November 6th, they're at Prairie View. November 13th, they're at Valley. And November 20th, they're at home against Texas Southern. And the Turkey Day Classic against Tuskegee is on November 25th, which is Thanksgiving. So, you know, that season is really front-loaded. So it's going to be important for them to get off to a decent start, although their season can honestly be over before October ends, because they have definitely a tough stretch of games in conference from September 25th to October 30th. You can count Prairie View, but Prairie View right now is kind of an unknown at this point, but that's definitely a dangerous game. It's on the road. So they have a very tough schedule early, and they're going to have to find out who they are at a very early point. Otherwise, their season will be over in a hurry. So that's going to do it for our Alabama State Spring 2021 season recap. Don't forget to check out the video on YouTube. It'll be dropping today. And we'll be back on Wednesday on YouTube with our next edition of the SWAC Talk Time Machine, where we cover the 2002 SWAC Championship game between Alabama A&M and Grambling. And then on Sunday, we'll be reviewing Grambling's very tumultuous and interesting spring 2021 season. So don't forget to check that out on Sunday. And we'll see you guys on Sunday on the podcast. We'll see you guys on Wednesday on YouTube. So y'all have a good week. Be safe on Memorial Day. And we'll see you guys then. We're out.